Just about 8:03 and a very good Friday morning. It's the Mornings with Ed show. Delighted to have you here. Of course, you know we're going to be out in front of Sawdust this morning. It opens up. I think their doors open at 11 o'clock. I'll just be punching buttons for music somewhere around 10, earlier than that, if you want to come on out and say hello. Glad to have you out there. This morning, and our guest for the conversation this morning, executive committee member for the Surfrider Foundation here in South Orange County, and is leading something called Ocean Friendly Restaurants Month throughout the month of July. We welcome in for the conversation Tam Gilbert from Surfrider Foundation. Welcome, Tam.
Thanks so much, Ed. Happy to be here.
I'm delighted to have you here. How are you this morning?
I'm good. Enjoying some cozy weather before it turns up the heat.
Okay.
And yeah. It's a good day.
We've already had, and I've got it, she showed up a little early, so we've already had this amazing conversation this morning, and I a ton of stuff to talk about, but I do want to talk first about what's happening throughout the month of July. What exactly is Ocean Friendly Restaurants Month?
So, Ocean Friendly Restaurants Month is in collaboration with the Surfrider Foundation's Ocean Friendly Restaurant Program. So that program aims to help and recognize local restaurants who meet good sustainable practice, and we offer a framework for new restaurants who want to achieve better sustainability goals. So the purpose of Ocean Friendly Restaurants Month is first and foremost to celebrate our local restaurants in Laguna Beach, like Mozambique, Nirvana Grill, Lost Pier Cafe, Harvest Restaurant, who are really leading the pack in what it means to be a sustainable restaurant. And secondly, we want to educate and help transition new restaurants and our local community to adopt more sustainable practices and reduce the use of single-use plastics that really clog up our beaches.
Right.
I know that a lot of us have seen the effects that single-use plastic trash can have.
Right. Okay. So you mentioned Lost Pier Cafe. I'm on my way home. I love stopping by there. They have delicious stuff. I'm fascinated by how easily they made the transition. The little wooden forks and spoons and the cardboard that they use to deliver the food out to. Yeah, they've made it. That's a successful model.
I could not agree more. They're definitely a great model for other restaurants, especially of a similar footprint to work towards. You know, there are better alternatives to your standard plastic to-go utensils and styrofoam boxes. That it shouldn't be used anymore, especially in beach locations or really anywhere. So we really just want to promote better alternatives, reusables being the first and foremost that we want to promote, but other products like the bamboo utensils that Lost Pier uses.
Right, right. Now, we now have an ordinance in town,
right,
restricting restaurants from using plastics.
Yes.
Are you also maybe monitoring to make sure that everyone is complying? Is there any kind of monitor situation that you're doing?
So we're still in the nascent phase of rolling out this new revised plastic restriction ordinance.
Right.
It'll go into effect mid-month.
Right.
So, you know, we definitely want to give restaurants a grace period to meet the new ordinance standards.
Right.
But absolutely, I think that we'll want to stay up on compliance checks for sure, and just, you know, ask community members to give a hand too.
Right.
And let us know.
Right. And it turns out, as I'm finding out, it's not much more expensive, really.
It really isn't. It's not that much more expensive. I think that for some businesses, the upfront cost of making that change,
right,
is a little bit of a bite. But if you're looking at the long run and the bigger picture, it's actually a cost savings.
Right.
Just think about restaurants who only have non-reusable cutlery,
right,
at their place of business. They have to pay to get all of that hauled out. So you change to a reuse model where most likely you already have a dishwasher that can do the job. You're looking at big savings down the road.
Right. And if you look at the beaches, and I was talking to you a few weeks back, we all went out on our paddle boards and kayaks, and
right,
we cleaned up the kelp. And if you would have seen the plastic we were able to get from the kelp and from the oceans, I think more people would be on board with this a lot quicker.
I think so too. And you know, those plastics that you saw on the kelp, those are the easy ones to fish out. It's the microplastics that degrade from, say, styrofoam containers that are really the pesky items that just continue to break down, and are now showing up in our food chain.
Right. So, and I'm not even kidding when I tell you this, that if I'm walking down the beach and I see like the broken styrofoam containers, the freezers that people bring out, a little tear comes down my eye. I swear. I shed a tear because,
Agreed.
You know that's going to be in the ocean. You know our fish are going to be eating it. You know our birds are eating it.
Yep.
I also have a problem with mylar. I mentioned that earlier.
Yeah, and I'm right there with you. Those mylar balloons.
Yeah, they sure look fun at the store when you're going, you're saying, yeah, it's your 40th birthday. That mylar looks great. But then it's out there just choking a seagull 10 hours later, you know. And so, yeah.
Exactly.
Get off that subject there. What can the community do to jump in and help you immediately?
So I'd say first and foremost, support those restaurants that are part of the Ocean Friendly program. You can go to southoc.surfrider.org to see what that list is. And follow us on Instagram at Surfrider SouthOC to learn what's cooking at restaurants. One of the major components of Ocean Friendly Restaurant Month is that participating restaurants are featuring an ocean-friendly dish. It's a great talking point so that guests and staff can learn about what it means to be ocean-friendly. Part of the optional criteria of the program is to consistently serve plant-based dishes. We know that plant-based ingredients have less of an environmental impact. And we also want to support local fisheries or have restaurants not serve fish at all, if possible. That would be ultimately the most sustainable choice. But go to those restaurants and try out the ocean-friendly dishes. You can even have a chance to win some cool Surfrider swag by getting social and posting a picture of that ocean-friendly dish on Instagram. Let us know how that dining experience is. And, yeah, we'll put you in contention for some pretty cool stuff.
Okay.
So I'd say, yeah. Eat at restaurants, take a little bit of a grassroots action and think of your favorite restaurant that you think would be a great ocean-friendly restaurant and just talk to them about it. Be like, hey, I heard about the ocean-friendly restaurant program on the radio. Would you consider it?
One of my favorites, and it's already ocean-friendly, is the Nirvana Grill. Lindsay over there does the most spectacular dishes to begin with that I just love. There's nothing I don't love. So my partner, Anne Marie, is a vegan.
Okay.
And absolutely, I mean, there's just always something for her. There's always lots of items, lots of choices. And restaurants that are doing this, they'll benefit in the end.
They will. And Chef Lindsay is such a great point, such a great model, because she does a lot for our community, especially through the pandemic. I was just so heartwarmed by the co-op that she set up at her restaurant.
It was great.
Yeah,
where really. I got my salmon.
And her food, her food is just gorgeous, and you know, fresh local produce. Right. So head over there. She's featuring a delicious ocean-friendly dish you'll have to try out.
I'm digging it. Okay, so let's talk about the surfing thing you said about Hawaii disadvantaged over California. We were talking about the Olympics and the athlete Sha'Carri Richardson that was suspended. We were talking about that, and you said you were glad that surfing is at least part of the Summer Olympics this year. And then you said something that shocked me, which was that Hawaiian surfers have a natural disadvantage to California surfers. What is the advantage California surfers have over Hawaiian surfers?
Well, let me clarify. Not all Hawaiian surfers, because, you know, the best in the world right now is Carissa Moore, who is a Hawaiian surfer. But I think that, from my personal opinion, Hawaiian surfers have a really graceful style that can be underscored when you're looking at, you know, compared power moves from, say, Australian surfers.
Right.
So in that sense, I think that this, of course, is in my opinion.
Right.
There's a bit of a disadvantage. I have Hawaiian roots, too, so there's a little bit of home pride going on.
but a smoother style. It's like dance.
Like hula.
Right.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, exactly.
That's very, very cool. So give us how to get in touch with you one more time.
All right. So to get in touch, follow us on Instagram at SurfriderSouthOC or check us out online at southoc.surfrider.org.
Tam Gilbert, July is Surfrider Ocean Friendly Restaurants Month. Come on back. Come on back at some point and update us as to how you're doing. Surf Rider Foundation's Tam Gilbert. Thanks for being with us this morning.
Thanks, Ed.
All right. 8:13, it's the Mornings with Ed Show.